Sportscast, July 6, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, YouTube. And if you go to Facebook, search for us at Sports. It's a Facebook type of person. Go to Sleon Sports. For some reason, Facebook canceled our sports account, our Sportscast account. For some reason, no reason. That's just how Facebook is. So we just kind of deal with their what they deal with us. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download Insta Bible on the iOS App Store. And make sure you check us out at thesportscast.net. We're a lot late breaking news. We're up there with ESPN. Sometimes we break the news before Adam Schefter does. So keep that in mind. We got some good sources out there. So hopefully we'll help you guys check out the site a little bit more. Awesome. Golf news. The PGA Tour, the Memorial Tournament presented by Nationwide. They announced no spectators. A golf that doesn't really need fans, but golf is a very social distance sport. But we got a lot of golf news today. And to join us, our hybrid commentator, Ryan Krista, all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, is good to be here. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. As we move closer into July, you know, it's an important month here in sports because this is the month we've been waiting for to see if we can actually get sports off the ground or if COVID-19 will win out and and we'll have to delay sports. So we'll see what's happening
here. Crucial weekend. People have been talking about this July 4th weekend that could impact college football if it will start on time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at the next couple weeks to see, you know, kids have been on campus now for about a month. And some campus, teams have, you know, while there's only supposed to be so many people in the complex are, you know, have gotten a lot of, you know, pub because of the testing positive, you know, rates. But it's hard to say if it's because of, how many people actually got it or how many people are there just because of quarantine. So, again, you know, as we get closer to mid-July where we're going to see if we're actually going to have college football on time, delayed, or, you know, conference only, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to be involved in, you know.
A lot of last-minute decisions, what I've been noticing.
Yes. I think for a while football had time was on the side when it came to COVID. But now time is not necessarily on the side, especially for, you know, college football. You know, they're kind of their hands are crossed because a little bit their hands are tied because they're waiting to see if campus is fully open. Now, you know, I think, you know, in May, there's a lot of good positive momentum before, you know, we've had a surge here in the last couple of weeks of positive cases where, you know, we feel like it was going to be safe for kids to go back on campus. Now, I think, you know, there's this idea of maybe not, you know, can you have football? All the classes are online. You know, I think we're leaning more and more to not having spectators or very limited spectators when it comes to college football.
I think what they should do is start off with no fans.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to get the games out.
Get the games going. And it's interesting. What we're seeing in soccer is the best teams are winning. Like, the best teams are the best teams, and the worst teams are the worst teams. Take away the fans, it's no longer home field advantage.
No, I mean, especially home field advantage in college football is huge because
it's everything.
You've got these mega stadiums, Santiago. I mean, how many times does Ohio State lose in the Horseshoe? How many times does Alabama lose at Bryant-Denny Stadium? Yes, they're good teams, but they play at a different level at home. And, you know, how many times does Florida lose in the Swamp? You know, not very many times. So home field is a big difference. And then if you're playing in an empty stadium, you know, it's going to take that home field away. And you're going to see a lot less upsets too. You know, sometimes, especially in college football, at any given Saturday, you get a home game, you know, and teams will rise up. But you might not get that if there's no fans in attendance. But
yeah, like the only home field advantage that I see is, you know, weather-wise or just altitude. That's the only advantage. But the fans bring that big indication of that home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, now, like you said, you know, the best teams are going to win. There's no excuses, you know. But, you know, obviously we got a couple weeks, you know, to see, you know, as we get closer. You know, they came up with it last week, or a couple weeks ago, the six-week plan to get players on campus, and that's coming up in mid-July. And we already see the SEC postpone the media days, which is not a good indication, I don't think. But
yeah, which, and there's some schools that we're seeing 30 athletes getting tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tricky thing because, I don't want to take away the severity of it. But, I mean, when college athletes get it, it's not them getting it. It's them spreading it to everybody else. But
protect the water boy, right?
Yes. Protect the coaches,
Anyways, let's go into golf. The Memorial Tournament, which will be held in Dublin, Ohio, was announced just recently, less than an hour, that they will not have spectators. The world-renowned event founded and hosted by Jack Nicklaus will instead be held without fans on site and with no pro-AM due to rapidly changing dynamics of the COVID-19 pandemic. Ryan Krista, I don't see it a big deal. Spectators in golf is not they're not cheering. They're not booing. Is this a big deal or not?
It's not a big deal. Like you said, in the outcome of golf, it's more of a big deal in the movement of getting sports more normalized. This is a golf where you could probably, they were only going to let so many people in. But so, I think with the rapid amount, not rapid, but, they had a high amount of testing a couple weeks ago, a positive test in golf a couple weeks ago. And I think it's just kind of a safety protocol. Okay, let's take it back just a little bit further. Let's keep making sure we can play the events. Let's not take the chance of, letting people in, and then you have this huge outbreak, I think everybody doesn't want to be that event that causes a massive outbreak. And I think that's kind of what you see here. Obviously, it's a big event. It's not a major, but it's kind of one of those events that people look forward to watching. Usually the best players will play in it. So, like you said, it's not a huge problem in the sense of the golf will go on fine. It's just more of like, okay, we're not really ready for spectators yet. And that's kind of, see how other sports react to that.
Were you able to see the match with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods, and Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah, I watched a good amount of that. That was a good pay-per-view event,
That was. Yeah. Look, maybe, they should mic the golfers for this tournament.
Yeah, that's kind of what we got going on here. And this week, with the champion Bryson DeChambeau, had a great weekend, but it was good for his results, bad for his PR, because they caught him, cameras caught him, getting frustrated, and then he was frustrated that the cameras caught him and kind of lashed out at the cameraman. Not good for PR, for his publicity, but it didn't really stop him from playing a great round, a great weekend of golf and really destroying the competition. The thing with Bryson, he doesn't look like a golfer. It looks like he should be on the gridiron. He bulked up a lot over the time when there wasn't any golf. He put on a lot of pounds of muscle. So he's a big hitter, solid player, hadn't won in a while, but maybe he's the next up-and-coming player in the PGA.
Speaking about Bryson, which Ryan was mentioning about, he won the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He broke shot link. What is shot link?
What'd you say?
What is shot link? He said he broke shot link during the Rocket Mortgage Classic win.
Oh, that's just kind of a technical golf term about the way he hit the ball. But he had definitely a. He had just collaborated kind of the records with the golf. It's just kind of a term for that. But He definitely had a great weekend of golf and definitely a player to look out for. Obviously I talked about his changing his body, kind of i.e. Tiger Woods, 20 years ago, where it kind of became cool for golfers to be able to put on all their muscles and
which helped them out for this tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And it helped, maybe it helped him out in the future, change his physique a little bit.
It's interesting with these tournaments, you don't see the same guy winning every tournament. You see some, I can't say random, but I call it random because I don't know who Bryce was until this weekend. So you see some, new people, I guess new opportunities for them to win a Was this a major tournament, Rocket Mortgage?
No, not a major tournament, but it's kind of mid-major, I guess. You know, one that's around every week, every
especially
year.
When sports is not around. I guess this becomes a little bit major.
Exactly, you know.
Which he averaged 329 yards per tee shot this week at the Detroit Golf Club, and he reached a 350.6 average on the two holes the tour used to officially measure the driving distance. The latter total is the longest achieved by a tournament winner since ShotLink began tracking in 2003, surpassing Tiger Woods, your man, mark of 341.5 yards at the 2005 Open at St. Andrews, a very popular course in the world. On multiple occasions, he attempted to drive the green on a par four, including Sunday when he opted to let playing partner Troy Merritt his first on the 399-yard hole, 13th hole, as he waited for the green to clear. Well, congrats to Bryson. Any closing words for Bryson?
Yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, obviously said it wasn't a perfect weekend, you know, because he had that outburst of the cameraman, but obviously he showed his power, showed his strength, and maybe he's the new future of PGA. Kind of a name to keep out there. He's been there around a while, always kind of up at the top tier, but, you know, with an event that, you know, like I said, it's a mid-major, so some of the best players play, but not all of them. But as we get closer into the, you know, end of the summer, into the fall, where all the majors are going to be played, it's always good to get some momentum going.
I wonder if he'll be at the Memorial Tournament.
I assume so. Like I said, it's not a major, but it's kind of a draw. You know, obviously being a Jack Nicklaus created event, you know, all the best players want to play. You know, it used to be, I think it was one of those events that, you know, back in the day Tiger Woods would just crush at every year, you know. It was almost known as his event. So
definitely, we'll be definitely eyeing on the golf. I'm, you know, being with the sportscast, this is year three, definitely eyeing more golf and baseball, so I'm definitely getting to know these names. And then like after watching like the match, how bad Tom Brady swings his long shot, it really encourages me. Hey, anyone could you know, step into this game and learn. The NHL and the NHLPA, very quiet leagues like me and Ryan have been talking about for the past few weeks, agree on protocols to resume season. The Deputy Commissioner, Billy Daly, told the Associated Press on Sunday that the NHL and NHL Players Association have agreed on protocols to resume the season. He said that sides are still negotiating on extension of the collective bargaining agreement. A CBA extension is crucial to the process, and the league's board of governors and players executive committee and full membership must still approve that and the return to play protocols to bring hockey back this summer. Ryan, is this a big deal or not a big deal?
Hey, it's just one. It's like we said, they've been quiet. They've kind of been out of the news. You know, you hear a lot more about the NBA and NBA and Major League Baseball.
And soccer, MLS.
And soccer, yes. You know, where NHL is kind of, you know, putting everything together. NBA kind of threw everything together right at one time, got it signed, and, you know, where NHL is kind of still piecing together where they're playing, what the protocol. So while I think they're first to, you know, to join together, they're kind of the last to put everything together. I think they're waiting and seeing, you know, what protocols need to be done, you know, if it's still worth it, which I think they are planning on it. It looks like Toronto and Edmonton are the leaders, the host cities, hub cities, they're calling them, for the NHL return to play. So we're getting closer. It's one step closer to that. Like you said, there are still some hurdles that they want to play. You know, they want to extend the CBA, you know, make sure they're, everybody agrees on how much everybody's going to get paid for playing.
If everything is ratified, it will end a pandemic-forced shutdown for 31 teams across North America that began in mid-March. Games will resume in late July or early August, with 24 teams taking part in an expanded playoffs, finishing with the Stanley Cup being awarded in October. So it's definitely spilling into a little bit deep. I guess the next season will probably be beginning in January.
Yeah, like NHL and NBA are kind of in the same, you know, quandary, you know. When they it was one of those ones where you want them to come back, but, you know, by now, I mean, we're almost ready for the next season. So now, obviously, they play now, you'll have a very short off season, and they'll get right back into it probably around Christmas time, or beginning of new
ish,
year.
So, yes, which is a so which is a
like
better
the
chance
NBA
to
probably have a shortened season next year, where you're, instead of playing the 82 games, they're probably looking at probably 60 games.
50 games, but 1999 retro.
Yeah, I mean, we're it's gonna be NBA and NHL, totally two different, you know, versions of coming back. You know, NBA's in one city, everybody playing, you know, same place, where NHL is playing in two different cities, you know, different formats. So where, you know, it's just a different way. I don't think there's right or wrong. It's just different. So it keeps us, you know, general sports fans on our toes while following it.
Let's dive into college football recruiting. Nation's top quarterback, Caleb Williams, commits to Oklahoma. Caleb Williams is the nation's top quarterback from Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C. He's fresh off winning the MVP of the Elite 11 Finals, which we spoke with Tyler about that last week, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And now he has made his college decision and will be heading to Oklahoma, as he announced on his social media feeds today. Oklahoma's looking pretty good. They're doing well with talent. 2021 is looking really bright. But let's look at Caleb Williams. How much of a big impact or pickup has Oklahoma had?
Oh, Santiago, Lincoln Riley. I mean, who? If you're a college quarterback and you want to put up big numbers, have fun playing, why wouldn't you go play at Oklahoma? Where, if you're not, you know, the two of the last three Heisman Trophy winners and Jalen Hurts, what, they come in second? So you go there, you're going to put up big numbers, your team's going to win, you go to the playoffs. It seems like if you have that choice and Oklahoma's offering you and they're telling you you're going to be the man, it just seems like a slam dunk to me. So, again,
he was between Georgia and LSU, Ryan.
Yeah, and I think and that's Oklahoma. What I mean. Everybody, I thought he was leaning towards Georgia, but I guess that's good that he.
That's good for great for Florida.
Yes, but I mean Georgia will get their guy. Don't worry, they always do. So.
Now, have you heard anything about Florida getting there?
Here's what you got to look at. You know, I mean, LSU, obviously, with Joe Burrow, they huge numbers, best quarterback year ever. But the guy who put that together, you know, Joe Brady, is off with the Carolina Panthers. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what type of offense, you know. And then I think with Georgia, you know, they bring in a new offense coordinator who's going to be a little different than we've seen in the past out of Georgia. So, but we'll see how they're going to, you know, how their offense is going to be more modernized. Because, you know, you look at Georgia for years, even under Jake Fromm, there was still a run-first offense. I think they're bringing a quarterback, Jamie Newman, who has got a great arm. Look for them to spread out a little bit more. And I think after that, then I think you'll see some of the top quarterbacks maybe start trending to Georgia too. But I think that's, we'll see how it happens. I think when it all came to fashion with Caleb Williams, I think putting up the big numbers, playing in the Big 12 was definitely a deciding factor.
Definitely, in the next couple of weeks, a whole recruiting news happening. Obviously, this is for 2021. So
recruiting is definitely different. You know, I mean, Tyler from our sportscast is all over college football recruiting. But
yes, and he'll be in this week to recap what happened this weekend, because there's, you know, which is major.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, you're talking about the Elite 11, and Tyler will talk a lot about all the quarterbacks, not just Caleb Williams, but all the quarterbacks and where they're trending and where, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses. But in recruiting in general, you know, it's hard to get a read because no one can be on campus. You can't visit. It's all virtual tours. So everybody's got to change their playbook on how to recruit. And I think it doesn't seem like it's, you know, it seems like it's slowing down a little bit more than usual, but that's just me. But I mean, Tyler can tell you more firsthand, you know, where, you know, we are in the college football calendar recruiting. But I see usually a lot more news when it comes to this time, you know, with players setting up their visits. But I think everybody's kind of putting that on hold until your high school players are able to go back on college campuses to visit.
We'll definitely be keeping you guys up to date with recruiting news. Tyler will be in this week, and he actually wrote an article. It's called Who Is Next? It's pertaining about college football, things like that, but you can check that out on thesportscast.net. The MLS is back tournament match between FC Dallas and the Vancouver Whitecaps, set for Thursday, has been postponed after 8 players tested positive for the coronavirus. The group stage game will be rescheduled, the league said Saturday. The MLS-backed tournament begins this week, Ryan. Are you excited about that?
I'm excited as long as, like, you know, I guess here, you know, MLS is kind of a more of a guinea pig to coming back tournament. I guess we've had a little bit in women's soccer, but
which they're ongoing right now.
Yes. And I think what one of the teams, the Orlando City, just didn't even come because they had an outbreak on their, you know, their team. But I hopefully it's just an FC Dallas issue with the outbreak. But, you know, it'll be good to get obviously live soccer. It'll be good to get some of your hometown Miami team back playing there, Santiago.
Yeah, they've only played two matches so far this season. So we'll see if they get things going. You brought up the women's tournament. And I heard after this tournament, they may not have a season afterwards. I think this is it for them for the year.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. You know, obviously they don't have they don't have the funding or backing. You know, there's a lot of money for testing and all that to put these things together. They're trying to stay in the spotlight as much as possible, which is good because, I mean, obviously the quality of soccer we can produce in the women's game here in America is great. But even at the MLS San Diego after this tournament, you know, the season's still in flux. So beyond this, so we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. I guess it's kind of a wait and see. But when it comes to MLS, I'm glad to see us back. Hopefully, you know, we get all the as many of the best players out there as possible. You know, always fun to go watch LAFC play San Diego, you know, with their
with Bob Bradley. Yes.
Yes. I mean, fun, you know, fun version of soccer they play. You know, hopefully they can keep that up. You know, wish Jose Martinez was out there, but he's out for the year, you know, with Atlanta United. But that's my pick to win the tournament, LAFC.
The MLS-backed tournament is a one-off tournament during the 2020 Major League Soccer season to mark the league's return to action from COVID-19 pandemic. All 26 Major League MLS teams will participate in the tournament held from July 8th to August 11th in Orlando. The tournament will feature a group stage, will count towards the 2020 MLS regular season standings, and then followed by knockout rounds. The tournament champion will qualify for the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League, and the 2020 season is scheduled to resume upon completion of the tournament, which I heard that's kind of pending-ish, but we'll see what happens when it comes to soccer. Ryan Krista, before the show, you want to bring up about Harvard Ivy League. What's happening there? What I've heard, they want to postpone like the football season to the spring. Is that?
Yeah. Well, not just Harvard, but all the Ivy Leagues. Santiago, they're having a vote on Wednesday, not just for football, all fall sports look like it's a go to move to the spring, which, you know, I don't want to say it's going to happen for all major college football teams, but if you remember the March, the Ivy League was the first tournament to cancel their conference tournament, and it was kind of a domino effect after this. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if other teams will follow. You know, what it looks like in the springtime, if nothing else, that the Ivy Leagues will just be playing a conference-only season, so probably 8-9 games. Obviously, it won't be, you know, probably a playoffs if no one else moves there, so because they are FCS teams. But it just will be interesting to see where this falls, you know, with other teams, other conferences will be thinking about this, and other major, because this could be huge news, Santiago. So,
yeah, this could be a starter for – you know, this thing could become a conference by conference decision. You know, you can see the SEC playing, but not the ACC.
Yeah, it could be a dumpster fire, San Diego, college football this season. I hope not. You know, I love this as much as anybody else, and I hope we can, you know, find some, you know, formal way of doing this. You know, whether it's play now, you know, everybody just plays conference games, or we move everything to the spring. You know. Like you said, time is ticking. You know, the next couple of weeks, a lot of decisions.
Time is not your friend right now. And
we're less than 8 weeks away from week zero, San Diego, 54 days away from our first scheduled football game. So
the two conferences that has solidified that they will come back is SEC and the Big 12. So though it's not saying they'll have a full schedule, but things could move back a little bit or just play with no fans.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, it's kind of way, like, we want to get the games out. You know, if that means no fans, that means no fans. But the financial ramifications for these schools and not playing football is
It's a
going to be
lot,
huge. Yeah.
which affected, for example, Cincinnati University. They canceled their
Yeah.
soccer program completely.
I mean, San Diego, not just Cincinnati. A lot of the group of five, and that there's probably half a dozen or more schools have canceled Olympic sports, they call them. Non-revenue sports,
Water polo.
because if, you know, water, whatever, it make it, you know, because, you know, the anticipation of not making as much money off of football and just how much money they lost last year by not playing the NCAA basketball tournament, you know, it's huge.
It's a lot of, and like, you know, college football carries the weight for the finance. They pretty
Yes,
much
I
finance
mean,
all the sport. Well, like you were saying, like the Olympic sports.
yeah, I mean, football will finance all the rest of the sports, and that's why it's so crucial, you know, for having a healthy football program where people are coming to your games and you can get adequate amount of TV money, you know. It's going to be, you know, next time we talk, hopefully we'll have some more answers. You know, a lot of
Yeah.
questions, not a lot of answers right now,
Which
Santiago.
this really reveals the financial back end of college sports. Where does the money come from? And we're seeing a huge clear eye of how things, like how things get function in the back end. What pays
Yeah,
off?
I mean,
Not each sport is
it's
not
huge.
self-sustainable.
No, not even close, Santiago.
And maybe financial budgets as well as the university,
Yeah, I
non-sports.
mean, you got schools that got to make choices on, you know, kids are coming to campus. You know, I think a lot of them say they are, but now I mean, you're talking about Arizona, basically, it looks like they've canceled, you know, on campus, you know, with the recent surge. You know, what does that do for Arizona and Arizona State football? You know, I mean, where's the, I don't know, Santiago. There's
Definitely a
a
lot of
lot of
question
unknown.
marks. A lot of things are kind of
I mean,
pending.
we can pray for, you know, as normal as we can, but it's, whatever it is, it's not going to be completely normal. It's going to be different, but I don't know what that means.
Definitely, we'll for sure keep that AI out. But teams like Alabama, LSU, good so far. But teams like
Yeah, it's.
UCLA losing the. Using sponsorship from Under Armour, that kind of questions marks a little bit myself.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they found a glitch in their contract. Basically, I really don't know why, you know, they
Kind of
put so
weird,
much
isn't
money
it?
in UCLA because it's not a huge brand, Santiago.
No, it's not. Under Armour is a distant third from Adidas and Nike.
And they paid a lot of money, you know, and they're just look. Obviously, they didn't think, even in the best times, I don't think that was a great decision financially by Under Armour, but they kind of swung it. They took some big swings, you know. They took, let's go, it will go back to golf. They put tons of money into Jordan Spieth, who is getting paid millions and millions of dollars by Under Armour, who he hasn't won a tournament since he signed his contract 2 years ago.
That tells you a lot, doesn't it? The only good contract Under Armour has, like probably the smartest decision they ever signed was signing
Steph
Stephen
Curry.
Curry.
Yes, of
That was the
course. You
best
know, I mean,
decision.
he's good. You know, he carries their basketball brand easy. But, you know, yeah, Under Armour football brand is, especially in college football, is not up to where it is with Adidas and Nike for sure.
That's a sports financial topic. Of course, sportscast, we cover that, and also we'll cover something else afterwards. On a light note this weekend, one contest or one sport was not canceled this weekend. Competitive eating. Joey Chestnut sets world record, down 75 hot dogs, winning his 13th title. I watched it live. They had social separation. It got it done, Ryan. You probably missed it, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched a little. I watched it. It's impressive. He never disappoints. I don't know how he does it, but you know, like it was. Yeah, obviously, it was not normal. Is it not outside? You didn't get the flying, you know, water from their dipping their hot dogs in there, but they still went on, you know, and Joey Chestnut still won. So if there's any set of normalcy, there it is.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut, of course, is the undefeated champion. Broke the record to 75 hot dogs. It was pretty impressive. Each contestant had like plexiglass as well to divide. You know, of course, you're spitting and eating, so you don't want to spread it. Spread if you have the virus. But all the contestants were tested before, and you had to be in New York for like 2 weeks before the whole contest began. So there was one guy that was missing, which was Matt Stone or Matt Stoney. He was supposed to be there. He won it in 2015. So Joey had an easy, I guess, can't say easy. You could call it easy contest. The only challenge was to break his record, 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Also, Mickey Sudo won the women's side of the tournament. She downed 45 hot dogs. No, hold on. She broke her record of 45 hot dogs. I think she did 46. No, near 50. 50 hot dogs. 48 and a half. 40 and a half. Can you believe it? If you don't down, like, you got down the whole thing. Half does not count.
No. It's all or nothing.
Now, how many hot dogs can you eat in 10 minutes?
It's impressive.
it's funny because I ate like two hot dogs and I was stuffed.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Absolutely. Same here in San Diego. I like a good hot dog, but one hot dog's enough.
Exactly. But anyways, congrats to Joey Chestnut and, of course, Chambu. So we got two winners this weekend. Of course, Formula One happened this past weekend. I didn't watch none of it, but I know they came back. I think they're still ongoing, so we'll definitely see what happened. And the poll question of the day is, where is your favorite place to eat fried chicken? KFC, Church's Chicken, Popeyes, or Bojangles?
Well, I don't really have any other options because that's all I got is KFC here in Rochester, so I'll say KFC.
KFC is at 26.9%, but what's winning right now is Popeyes at 46%, second place KFC, third place Church's Chicken, and last Bojangles.
I mean, I've never had Church's Chicken. I've had everybody, but to me, KFC is still the number one for me here.
You know why Popeyes is going first? Because of their chicken sandwich. They were competing against Chick-fil-A.
I never got one. We do have a Popeyes. I don't go there very often, so I guess that's really not enough. But I didn't get the chicken sandwich. So
now, writing down these choices, I was gonna put Chick-fil-A, but are they really fried chicken?
They're not really a fried chicken establishment.
Yeah, they're not. So, you know, these four are like the standard ones. But yeah, Popeyes is winning at 46.2%. If you beg to differ, go to the Sportscast One Twitter account at the Sportscast One. So you could definitely vote on your favorite fried chicken. Fried chicken, it hasn't gone out of style. It's still popular in America and obviously for the summer. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you? Talk to you about the Memorial Tournament.
At the Mad Dog Report on Twitter. So we'll see. Like we said, we got the Memorial here in golf.
MLS is back tournament.
Yeah.
This weekend, I mean, more sports are kind of coming into the flow of things. This month is crucial, Ryan.
Yeah, it's huge. It's the month we've been waiting for, you know. I mean, we got baseball, hockey, football coming hopefully by the end of the month. So hold on and let's keep these numbers down so we can get some sports.
Exactly. I know New York is doing well. And of course, forgot to mention, congratulations to Liverpool for winning the Premier League last week.
Yes. Congratulations to LeBron James on winning a championship.
Exactly. Another championship in the books. And, of course, you can follow all these news at the Sportscast One or go to our website at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. You can read an article by Tyler Turner about college football. He's keeping an eye on the whole talent thing. I broke the whole thing with Caleb, and he wasn't too excited. Maybe he thought he was going to go to Oregon.
I don't think so. I think he thought he was going to Georgia, but –
it was Georgia, you guys don't know, is the biggest rivalry to Florida Gators. It's number one, bigger than FSU, right?
Yeah, well, it's conference. Yeah, FSU is more of a fun dislike, but yeah, Georgia's where, you know, that's where championships are won in your conference. So.
And there you have it. Ryan, how do you have your hot dog? You put mustard, mayonnaise? Like, how do you handle that?
Ketchup and mustard.
That's it. You don't add relish or like onions?
Not a relish guy. No. Some people will go, I mean, once in a while you got to go chili cheese dog, you know, chili and nacho cheese, but that's rare. But most, on any given summer day, I'll like to go, and I like to have a white hot Santiago, a Rochester, New York special.
Interesting. A white hot. And what is that assembled as? Like, what do you put on it? Like
it's
tomatoes?
It's like a pork hot dog.
Interesting. Now, okay. A few people have questioned me. Is mayonnaise okay to put on a hot dog?
I've never seen that, but you treat your own. It's your hot dog.
I think it tastes great. I put mayonnaise on my hot dog.
That might be a South Florida thing. But
it has to be. It has to be. And I put the little Frenchies potato steaks on top.
Okay.
That's doable.
That's a Santiago special. There.
That's done in Pittsburgh.
It sounds like Pittsburgh does some crazy things with their meat. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Anyways, Cam Newton is in New England this week. So we'll see. People are saying he's a third string quarterback. I doubt it. I think he's first string.
I think he'll have a shot. I think Jared Stidham on first stamp of training camp will be the starter. It's Cam Newton has to go out and prove that he's a number one quarterback. So I think Jared Stidham, he deserves a chance. And I think they got to see where he'll get a chance to play. I think they got to see where they are as a team overall, you know?
Also his health. Where's he at?
If Newton gets him to be 8-8, then it's not worth it. You play Jared Stidham 2-14 and get your Trevor Lawrence next year.
Well, you try to lose out and tank for two. Anyways, we're out of time. We're going overtime. Ryan Krista, great show.
Great show, Santiago. It's always good to talk about sports as we inch closer to hopefully real sports. Everybody go watch some MLS soccer this week. Don't forget about the tournament on ESPN going on this week, too. So, got some sports. Not as much as we'd like, but we got some, and they're coming closer.
All right, guy. Happy Monday, Ryan.
Happy Monday, Santiago. God bless.